This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello everybody, this is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to say welcome once again to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. We're on the road this week. We are actually in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and we are coming to you live from one of our favorite places in the world.
The Dreamland Drive-In. We are parked in their parking lot, and as soon as we're off the line with you, we're going to go get some of those delicious ribs, the best ribs in the world at the Dreamland Drive-In.
Okay. That's not a commercial message, though. That's just personal testimony. Anyway, we are on our way to the Chef of Louisiana Conference in Greater Baton Rouge, Louisiana, later this week. And we are talking about conferences. Last week, we talked about why you ought to consider going to a big conference somewhere. If you're a homeschooler, are there advantages? Oh, absolutely. There sure are. And this week, we want to talk about making that practical. How do you get the most out of going to a conference? You know, I remember the first big conference I went to, it was not really that big by today's standards, but it just blew me away. I just thought, I had no idea there was so much stuff available.
It was just so amazing to walk in and see row after row of cool things that we want for our kids and different curriculum we can look at. But most of all, the people, that there were so many people that seemed to be just like us.
And that really is one of the great advantages of going to a conference, because I think we get a little jaded with the Internet experience to say, yeah, I know there's a bunch of us scattered around in our little dark corners and back of the neighborhood kind of existence, but you never see us all out together in the light of day. Well, I'll tell you what, when you go to some of these conferences where there are hundreds and thousands and sometimes tens of thousands of homeschoolers gathering together with a common purpose of being edified and encouraged and finding the best curriculum and products available for their kids, you know, that's a great experience. And so we want to encourage you to do that. But we also recognize that it does have some practical logistical issues that you have to deal with.
Well, you know, money's tight these days for many of us, and so you might have to be creative about going. Now, one way to go, and then this is the easiest, is to get yourself a room at the conference hotel. So that way, if you're tired, you can go back to the room and rest. When you are tired, at the end of the day, it's not far to get there. That's the easiest way to do it. You know, sometimes it's easier than possible. Sometimes you got to save money.
Well, now we've got a couple of episodes back in our archives. If you want to page through there about family travel, we have an episode where we talk about finding lodging and making the travel arrangements, even if you have to get airfare somewhere. You know, how can you do that reasonably? And then we also have another program where we talk about just getting food on the road. How do you keep yourself and your family fed if you're taking your family to conference? You know, how can you do that in a way that's not going to break your entire budget, just keeping everybody warm and well fed when really you wanted to buy books?
Yeah. You know, if you're looking for those, if you search on cheap family travel on our page, you'll find it. It's right there. And there's tons of ideas about how to save money by bringing a crock pot. Don't forget the crock pot liners. Cheapest money you ever spent when you can just gather it up and throw it away rather than wash that crock pot. Bring a crock pot, bring a cooler, eat out of the cooler. But that stuff, we've already talked about all that. What we want to talk about is how do you actually survive the conference and get the most out of it? I'll tell you probably the most important thing is to wear comfortable shoes.
That's some pretty basic advice. But, you know, the conference experience is going to be a lot of time on your feet. And whether you're an exhibitor and a speaker like us, or if you're a guest, a participant, however you want to categorize yourself. If you're one of the people who comes to take part in the conference, you're going to be walking around a lot. And I tell you, some conference centers are easy on the feet. I remember going to Denver several years ago for the Czech conference, and it was all carpeted there in the merchandise market at Denver. And then other places like CHAMP in Pennsylvania or NCHE in North Carolina, our own home conference, you know, that exhibit hall floor is concrete, concrete, concrete. So good, soft walking shoes are really a must all the way around.
Yeah, you'll last a lot longer because most of us just don't stand up all day. You know, we're sitting down in our recliners, we're working in our houses, but we're not standing up all day. So anyway, wear comfortable shoes, wear comfortable clothes. And if you're bringing your children with you, make sure that they're comfortable too. If they're wearing things that don't bind, that they're wearing things they're comfortable wearing, comfortable shoes, and they've got stuff to do, that they've got quiet books, quiet toys. If you've got a baby with you, something like a baby sling that will allow you to discreetly nurse the baby wherever you are and save your life. If they're a little bit older, they need to be wiggling around on the floor, bring like a 6x6 blanket or something that you can plop down. You can sit in the back of a classroom and plop it down the floor and let the baby roll around and play on it. I've done that many times in many different conferences.
Yeah, you can meet people that way. I know that I remember one time in particular, you were at a conference nursing a baby, sitting next to one of the most popular and famous speakers in the country, sitting next to his wife who was nursing their baby.
And
you know, those kind of things happen. Those sort of meetups, those providential meetings do occur. You know, you mentioned the kids, making the kids comfortable. A lot of conferences, and this is not everybody by any means, but a lot of the conferences will have children's programs. They'll have children's ministries come in to do different activities with kids of different ages. What do you think of those?
Well, you know, I think it can be a real help because it can allow you to really concentrate on what the teachers are saying and concentrate when you're looking in the book fair. You know, and there's certain ages that are a real distraction. You know, nursing babies, I had no problem with them. But once the child gets to be 6 or 7, they don't want to sit and listen so much. I guess it just depends on how comfortable you are. Because there have been times that I was not at all comfortable with putting our child in something like that. But when they have several siblings, it seems like it's a lot easier to do that if you can put several siblings in the same class.
Yeah. So that's something, one of those answers, it just depends, you're at liberty. Certainly something to consider. Now, we did talk a little bit about, you know, maybe you take your family, but maybe you don't. I mean, we know several couples who go to conferences just as a couple. It's kind of a couples retreat as well as a homeschooling event for them. And that's certainly that's a fun thing to look forward to. But then we've also known groups of moms to go together to share a hotel room and sort of camp out together in the hotel and split the expenses and just do all their shopping together.
Oh, and that's really fun. It's like a pajama party. You know, one thing about it, if you do go husband and wife together, it's very tempting to divide and conquer for the two of you to go to different sessions. You know, I think it might be more profitable if you go together and then listen to the extra session maybe on the way home, maybe buy the CD or buy the MP3s, because there's something special that goes on when the two of you listen to a session together. You can interact with the information. You know, you both know exactly what was said rather than getting the Cliff Notes version. And so I would really encourage you to think about going to sessions together.
I think that's good advice. Now, since you brought that up, you know, maybe you've never been to a conference, you don't know all the things that happen there. Most conferences, particularly the larger ones, will record the sessions as they are occurring. And, in fact, before you leave the end of the conference, usually within the hour after a certain workshop is done, you can go purchase the CDs right there. They record them, manufacturing them there on site. And in many cases, you can get an MP3 version. Or even sometimes you can go back after the event and order them off the website and get them downloadable. Now, don't bet on that, but that is available some places.
Although, if you want all the sessions from one particular speaker, I recommend that you check their booth first, because sometimes they'll have those CDs themselves, which help support their ministry and keep them speaking. And also, a lot of times they'll have other things that are related to what you're interested in, and you already know you trust that speaker, and that way you can go and get even more stuff that will help you. They might have a book, they might have a webinar series, or something else that will give you even more in-depth information about the topic you're interested in.
Now, I think one thing we hear from a lot of folks who have just been to one or two conferences or maybe never been to one is just how huge it is. And we've been, we've been to conferences that had well over 10,000 people there, that had 200 vendors in the book fair, and we've been to conferences that had just a few hundred and maybe, a couple of dozen speakers, and it still can be a lot to digest. Now, how do you make sense of, when you have a list there, a whole weekend of workshops and all different topics, and then you have a book fair, be it the size of a gymnasium or the size of a convention center, you've got a whole book fair full of alternatives. How do you start to sort that out?
Well, I think first you want to look at the sessions that are available. I know so many people who have been to conferences, but they've only been to the book fair, and you're missing so much if you do that. And so at least several days before you go, download the conference program, list of sessions and speakers, and look through it. And, circle the things that you're interested in. Maybe print it out. Circle the things that just sound interesting. Read the descriptions of the sessions. Maybe go out to the speaker's website and just do some research and think about, what do I need? You need to go to the back, please. We're in the van and someone's blowing their nose over my shoulder. I apologize, folks. In the back.
Okay. Thank you.
We're real. You'll hear it all here.
This is family life. Go ahead,
Mary. Okay. Do a little research. Talk to your friends. Ask them what speakers have blessed them in the past. And kind of make yourself a plan of what you want to hear the most. Now, it helps to prioritize it because sometimes the brain can only take in what the behind can stand. And so sometimes you're not going to make it to as many sessions as you plan. So prioritize. Make sure you double circle or something the ones you really want to make it to that are hitting you where you are now.
And, leave yourself some leeway to change your mind when you get there. Don't feel like you have to have it all scripted out and planned, that I must go to sessions A, B, C, and D, and that's my whole thing. But rather, keep in mind, you might get there and find a particular speaker you're not familiar with, and maybe you hear that first session and say, wow, this person is touching what needs to be touched for me. I mean, this person is really addressing my concerns. And you might throw out your whole plan and say, I'm going to every session by this speaker. I've got to hear more from this. That's okay. That's one of the neat things about this. It's kind of the buffet experience. You can go and get a serving of everything on the buffet, or you can focus on one thing in particular, whatever works for you, whatever's most attractive at the moment.
And don't ever be afraid to go up and ask a speaker a question or to ask them to sign a book for you or to go to their booth and talk to them. That is really encouraging to people that are in ministry. It's exhausting driving from conference to conference, and they're very long days. Sometimes we speak four or five times in a day. And to hear that God has used something that we've said to bless somebody, it makes it all worthwhile. So feel free to talk to speakers. They're real folks just like you, and they need the encouragement. Now let's talk a minute about the book fair, Hal.
Okay.
How do you deal with, and make sure when you're making your schedule, leave yourself time to eat, okay? How do you deal with walking in and there's 100 or 200 vendors? How do you even make sense of that? Now, Let's talk about that after the break. We need to take a little break here.
Okay.
And stay with us, folks. It's just going to be a few seconds.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. What's coming up? Well, of course, the closest thing is this weekend, this very weekend, we're going to be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, actually in the town of Baker, which is a suburb of Baton Rouge. But we're going to be in Baton Rouge for the Christian Home Educators Fellowship of Louisiana annual conference, one of the first organizations we joined when we were homeschooling. And we've been looking forward to this because we used to live just north of Baton Rouge and haven't been back in years and years and years. And we're so looking forward to being there. It's going to be a great conference. I've really been impressed with the direction that their board's going. I think it's going to be a terrific event. It's going to be at,
Bethany
name of the church?
Church?
Bethany Church, thank you. Bethany Church on Friday and Saturday of this week. What dates are those, beloved? Do you recall?
Oh, hell.
Oh, you need to pull up the calendar there.
Yeah.
All right, so that's coming up this week, and we're also going to be next Tuesday. We're going to be in Cornelia, Georgia. We're going to be speaking to the Haversham Home Educators, I believe is the name of the group. They are a local support group, and looking forward to talking with them as well. Then next month, coming up in May, we've got three big conferences planned. First, we're going to be at the Southwest Home Educator Ministries Conference, or SHEM, S-H-E-M, in Springfield, Missouri. Do you have the dates on that? Okay, you're looking at April, dear. Let's bring up May.
Yeah, he forgets we're sitting here in the van in a parking lot, folks. Okay, 14th through 16th, SHEM, Springfield, Missouri, 21st to 23rd, NCHE in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 28th to 30th, Teaching Diligently, Sandusky, Ohio. In June, we'll be in Richmond, Virginia at HEAV and Portland, Oregon at Ocean Network.
Yep.
Now, let's talk about Book Fair, pal.
Okay.
You walk in, and it's like, wow. Where do I even start? I think probably the first thing to do is just to stroll through there. Just kind of look around, get oriented, see who's there. You know, maybe make some notes if you want to come back to this booth or that booth. But just look around and get oriented and take it all in first. Don't you think?
Yeah, that's a good thing. Get an overview, kind of see what's out there and see who is there, because sometimes, the speakers, sorry about that, speakers will have a table. Almost always, the speakers will have a table and they'll have their materials for sale. And some people will have representatives there. You know, you might see a booth that has a familiar name on it or a familiar publisher, but it's going to have a local representative that's there manning the booth. But oftentimes, you'll find that a speaker or an author that you really like is there, even if they're not speaking that weekend. They are actually there representing themselves, too.
And it is so amazing when you're trying to decide whether to buy a book or use a curriculum, to be able to talk to the person who wrote it, you know, or even if they're not there, to talk to people who really love it, who've used it for years. It's something you can't get online. And so be sure to allow time to walk through there. And I do want to say this. It's hard sometimes living on one income, and it can be hard to afford the money to spend for school books. But it costs those vendors a lot of money to be at the book fair. They have to pay for their booths. Sometimes booths cost anywhere from a couple hundred dollars to $600 or $800 for each little section. And so some people are spending thousands, okay? Plus, they have to pay for their hotel rooms for their staff. Staff to be there, travel, gas to get there. It's really expensive. And if you don't buy from them, they won't be there next year because they can't afford it. And so, you know, sometimes you look and you say, oh, you know, I could save a dollar if I order it on Amazon. But first, that doesn't reward the people for being at that conference, and so they might not come back. But also, I didn't realize this before we became speakers and authors too, but when someone sells a book on Amazon, a publisher, the author makes anywhere from one-tenth to one-third what they would make if you bought it directly from them. And so it makes a huge difference to the people there. It might be $1 to you. It might be $10 to the person you want the support that they're losing. So please buy from the people there. If you spend an hour talking to someone at the booth, please buy the goods there and not at Amazon.
Well, that you brought that up. That's the thing too. Book fair etiquette. Okay, there's a couple things. We just want to encourage you to think about this because, you know, we all want to be a good testimony. We want to be good neighbors. We want to be friends with the people that are ministering to us through their writing and speaking and such. And here are some things that we see sometimes people just don't realize they're doing. Okay, first off, don't go ask the vendor if you can order this somewhere online cheaper. Yes, you can. But just for that reason, you know, realize they give up so much to be there to talk with you one-on-one. You know, that's kind of bad to take their time and attention and then say, well, but I'm gonna go get it from somebody else that sells it to me cheaper. Okay. And that's another thing. You know, everybody's there, they do want to talk with you. They want to help you out. And, you know, let's be courteous of their time. Recognize that you're not the only person in the convention. And, you know, if you spend a lot of time with a vendor, it is good to, you know, to at least put a little bit of money in their pocket for it.
And, calling things around the book fair.
Yes.
You need to find out before you go, are strollers allowed? Most places allow strollers. Some allow, like, carts, and others don't. Some people use, like, little carts, like you carry around an airport. Some people use, they call them teacher's carts. It's like they make a plastic cube, and it folds up into a little square, and you can pop out and make a plastic cube that with a handle you can cart around books. It really helps to have something that rolls to carry your books because it can get pretty exhausting carrying them around. I understand some conferences, though, you can check your books in and store them there. What a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I have seen that in a couple of conferences. And, of course, this is a good argument for the staying in the conference hotel because maybe you take a 30-minute break there in the middle of the day and haul your books back up to the room. Or you can haul them out to your car in the garage, you know. Which, of course, that's something, too, we can talk about. Personal safety. Do you need to be careful about personal security in a convention? Well, yeah, you know, we find that a homeschooling community is typically very honest and very safe. But whenever you're in a big crowd, you do need to kind of keep an eye on your kids and your stuff.
Yeah, especially outside the convention center. Because outside the convention center, you know, it's usually in a bigger city. So there's some safety issues you want to be careful. Inside the convention center, probably the biggest issues are making sure your teams know what's polite and what's not. You know, that it's not polite to ride up and down the elevator clicking every button, you know. That it's not polite just to stand on the escalators and talk to their friends nonstop, you know, and clock things up. And a lot of teams just don't even realize that. And so we have to kind of instruct them what's proper behavior at something like this, just like we do everything else. You know what, we need to talk about water and snacks.
Yep.
Very seldom will you find a working water fountain in a convention center. They turn them off. A lot of times they turn off the drink machines because they want you to buy their overpriced concessions. And usually the organization hosting the convention has nothing to do with that. The convention center requires it. They can't change it. So always bring a bottle of water in your bag. You know, any snacks that you need for your little ones, tuck those in. Sometimes they'll say that you can't bring food into the convention center, not the organizer. Generally, they won't pay much attention as long as you don't make a big deal about it.
Yeah. So as long as you don't, like, bring in a bucket of fried chicken and spread out a checkered tablecloth in the middle of the floor, which some convention centers will let you.
Some convention centers let you. Need to ask your friends.
Yeah, that's true. And I will say this. Not every convention concession stand is overpriced because I know I was at a I've been to the Cincinnati Convention Center a couple of times for that big convention, and one of their concessions there is Skyline Drive or Skyland Chili. You know, it's one of the big local chili places there, and their food was not really overpriced.
Well, you know, we were at the Fargo, North Dakota convention 2 weeks ago, and that is without a doubt the best food at the best price I have ever had at a convention anywhere. It was incredible. They said a local family cooks it. You remember that for lunch we had pot roast and cheesecake? It was so good. It was cheaper than going out to McDonald's.
Yeah. So just, you know, caveat emptor, go there, check it out. Just we're just saying don't expect to find a good deal on food, but don't expect that it's all going to be overpriced either. Just check it out and see what you think. And, of course, if you bring food in the cooler, you might have something to eat in the room when you get back if you don't want to eat it during the day. So no waste there.
And so let's see. We've talked about what to wear. And, you know, it used to be a lot more formal than it is now. People wear just whatever they want to now. You know, jeans, skirts, it doesn't matter. It used to be most everybody dressed a certain way, but there's a lot more variety now. And we talked about how to haul your stuff around, strollers and carts, making sure they're allowed. And if you have a health issue, like if you see that carts aren't allowed, but you, like, had shoulder surgery or something, you ask for an exception because they do, even convention centers that don't allow carts will allow them in that shape.
I know one convention that we went to would tag things. You know, if you had a special permission to have a cart or, you know, any kind of equipment, they put a tag on it just like some of the airlines do. So that, you know, people would know, hey, this is an exceptional case and they have our blessing to do it.
Now, let's talk we talked about choosing sessions. We talked about the books there. Let's talk, and one thing I want to say about that, when you make a survey, just scroll through the book fair, that helps you not spend as much time in later because you can go directly to which booths you're interested in. Now, let's talk a little bit about survival with children, because for so much of our homeschool career, we haven't had anyone to watch the children. We live far away from family. You know, we didn't have help. Now we have teenagers, and, you know, we can leave a 18-year-old in the room with the kids if we want to. It doesn't matter. But it was much harder when our children were younger. So how do you entertain children when you want to sit in a session and watch? First of all, quiet toys. If it makes any noise at all, it will sound like clanging cymbals in a quiet room. So leave it at home. Only toys are completely silent. For little guys, things like matchbox cars are great because they can drive them around anywhere. They can kneel on the floor and drive it on the chair behind them. You can sit in the room in the back. Do watch if you've got your children up on seats with you. Watch and make sure there aren't people standing in the back because you might need to take your children in the back so that adults can sit down. Stickers. One of the first things we would always do when we got to the conference is I would bring each child a notebook, and then when we got to the conference, I'd buy them each some stickers and some new crayons and, you know, some little things that they could do. I'll tell you, probably the thing that entertained a toddler the longest of anything we've ever had. Melissa and Doug make a latches board and a locks board. And it's like a puzzle board, like a board puzzle, but they have like all kinds of different latches on one of them and all kinds of different locks on the other one. And I bought that at the start of a conference one weekend, and I remember whichever child of ours was a 3-year-old at the time played with it all weekend long. Do you remember that?
Wow. And that's a good thing too. A lot of conferences, you'll find a booth that has some toys. Some of them are quiet. Not all of them. I remember one vendor that's no longer on the circuit, but he always used to tell if they were in the room because they had pop guns and you could just hear pop 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 going off somewhere. But a lot of places do have appropriate quiet toys, coloring books, workbooks. Art supplies. You know, we've had a couple of friends who are vendors who do art supplies, and you can get a sketchbook and colored pencils of whatever grade and complexity you want, whether artist level for your older kids or just the simplest toddler kind of crayons, you know.
And, you know, buying your children some new books at the start of a conference can really keep them busy over the weekend. You know, stopping at a place like Book, our friends Jan and Gary Bloom of Books Bloom, and buying them some excellent classic used books, or places like Used with a Mission and their missionary stories. Grace's Sweet Books and Astonishment's booth has great books. Find them some good books at the start of a convention that they've never seen before. A lot of times they'll go head down the whole convention. It's great. And so, you know, we have been to many conventions with our children right next to us the whole time, and we've still got a tremendous amount out of it. So don't let that hold you back. Make sure you got some things, some snacks and water for them hidden away. Make sure you got lots of quiet toys and books. But, you know, you can really get a lot out of the convention, even surrounded by a ton of little children.
So, looks like we are about out of time. So anything to wrap up here?
I don't know. I just hope that you'll take the plunge and you will go to a convention this year. I think the times I've enjoyed it the most are the times I've relaxed and not felt like I had to do everything, not felt like I had to reach every booth, had to go every session. But the ones I did what I felt like. And if I got in a good conversation with another mom, be sure to introduce yourself to the people near you. It's really fun to meet new people there. I didn't worry about it if it made me late for something. I just enjoyed it. Oh, here's
a tip. I thought about this afternoon and forgot to mention it. Okay, a lot of vendors will have places to sign up for their mailing list. They'll have giveaways and drawings and things like that. If you've got any pre-printed address labels, or if you could just print some out on your computer that have your name and address, an email address,
Yes. Okay,
something like that, you can just peel those off and put those contest entries in or get on the mailing list. Not, you know, just take you a moment. And that's something that I've seen a lot of savvy moms do that saves a lot of time, okay?
Yeah.
That's one thing. So, anything else?
Another fun thing is a lot of us are involved in, like, Facebook groups of different moms. And I have several different groups like this that we found out that a bunch of us were going to the same convention, and having some way to identify each other, because you don't always look like your Facebook picture, you know? Especially when you're in a hurry at a conference, you're looking at dozens and hundreds of people every minute. And so, you know, maybe having a, what we did for one group I was in, is someone printed up a bunch of stickers with the names of, with the name of the group. And then they just stuck it to a bulletin board at the conference and notified everybody where it was. Or another group, they just had one of the members of the group was one of the vendors, and they said, drop by this person's booth and they'll have the stickers. And you can put that sticker on your name tag, and that way other people in the group can recognize you. And that is really fun. We've done that several times. Well, Hal, we are out of time.
Yes, we are.
So I'd better play the ending music. So it is always so good to talk to you. Next week, we're going to still be on the road, and we'll be home for a while. If you are at a conference where we are this year, would you come up and introduce yourself? It is incredibly encouraging to meet you, and we'd love to meet you face-to-face.
All right. So, once again, coming to you this week from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, on our way to Baton Rouge, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie. We forgot to tell them that week after next, we're starting a new session of Bootcamp 9 to 12. Check it out, folks. RaiseYourWillMen.com/bootcamp.
Yes, absolutely right. Okay, so roll the outgoing, and we'll be talking with you again next week. Thanks so much for joining us.
Bye, everyone.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/halandmelanie or Facebook.com/raisingrealmen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.